Like I say, we appreciate that on the song service this morning. Everything been said and done thus far in the service. Just ask you to pray for us for just a minute. Might be able to get ourselves out of the way. Do that and feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. You want to read with us this morning? We're going to read some out of the book of Exodus, the third chapter. We do need your prayers. Very familiar scripture that I'm going to read, and I'm going to read in several places out of the book of Exodus. Be quite frank with you, I could probably read several verses out of about every book in the Bible, but I'm going to try to keep it to Exodus. Well, Exodus and the book of Acts. We'd like to say we appreciate all of you that's able to come, be in this service. And I do. I really appreciate the service thus far this morning. This is an old, you get into the book of Exodus, you find that I'm going to read mostly is the children of Israel was in Egypt. We know they've been down there about 430 years, and the Lord was fixing to visit them because of their cry. They cried out, wanted to be delivered. And the Lord heard them, and he sent them a deliverer. They used to sing a song, "Lord, send us another Moses." But that wasn't the purpose of God sending Moses. The Lord sent Moses down there to deliver the children of Israel. The thing of it is, Moses wasn't going to go by himself. And Moses asked, he said, "Who am I going to tell them has sent me?" And he said, "You tell them I am, that I am, has sent me." Now, there were several things, and I'm going to read out the 3rd chapter, the 4th chapter, the 7th chapter, the 11th chapter, maybe the 15th chapter. I'm not going to read that much, I don't think, but you just bear with us. We'll start in the 3rd chapter, and we're going to start with about the 16th verse. Says, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. The fourth chapter, we're going to start with the 18th verse. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Seventh chapter. We'll start with the first verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. 11th chapter. We're going to start with the fourth verse. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. 15th chapter. We'll start with the 10th verse. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of the Palestinian. Acts, the 3rd chapter, I believe it is. Not the 3rd chapter, it's the 2nd chapter. We'll start with the 37th verse, 2nd chapter. It says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this underward generation. Then they that gladly received the word, his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, I know that's a lot of reading, and I know that's a lot probably to take in. And you might think today, well, there's no comparison to that that's in the book of Acts, being that of Pentecost, to that of the children of Israel being in Egypt. But I want you to just bear with us for just a minute. We'd be able to get ourselves out of the way and do that. We feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the wonders. The wonders. And I'll get down to that of the New Testament, and you might think that it has nothing, in other words, in comparison, but the scripture says, and I read it to you, it said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That of which was done in that of Egypt, my friend, was done through that of Moses. The Bible teaches us that it was noted early on. It was noted up front, in other words, that Moses was going to do, that Pharaoh would not let the people go. And he said, he'll not let them go until all my wonders and my signs shall be done. In other words, he's going to bring more and more. He said, I read it to you. He said, I'm going to multiply. I'm going to multiply. I believe there was 10 different instances. We call them plagues that come upon that of Egypt, but it was the wonders that God done in the land of Egypt to save the children of Israel. Now that you might think, well, preacher, what is a wonder? Well, the definition of a wonder is a miracle or a token, a great, amazing. That's what a wonder is. I believe that in this world they talk about the 7 wonders of the world. And you think about that for when you think about these things. But the scripture says that God told Moses, he said, that you do these wonders when you come in the presence of Pharaoh or the king of Egypt, which was that of Pharaoh. You do these wonders. They was in the hand of Moses. You say, preacher, was it God? It was God. But it was God using Moses, my friend, to do these wonders, to bring these things out and to bring these things to a pass. Now the Bible says that whether you'll have it or not, the comparison, my friend, about the Acts and that of Acts and that of the day of Pentecost and that of Egypt when the children of Israel come out, whether you believe it or not, it took a death. It took a death. Now, Pentecost would not have come about, my friend, had they not been the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had he not done those things, and had the apostles, my friend, not preached the word unto this crowd, my friend, they would have not been saved. Now you think about that. The Bible says, and I've often wondered about this verse, it says, and we think a lot of times that God don't have his way. Brethren, he has his way in the whirlwind. There ain't nothing in this world that God can't control. Nothing, my friend. And I'm going to be honest with you, that is a great wonder. Yes, it is. It's a great sign. It's a great wonder.
just to see, my friend, what God can do, not only in your life, but what he can do in this world. There's things, my friend, that people thinks God not able to overcome, that God's not able to do. But brethren, he can move mountains. He could have done away with Pharaoh, my friend, in an instant, but God wanted to show them that he was God and there was not another one like him. That's what he said. That's what he brought them about for. Brethren, there's never been a day, my friend, like the day of Pentecost. What a wonder. What a wonder. Just in itself, my friend, God added 3,000 souls to that of the church. Early church, the church just beginning. But brethren, you think, why, preacher, that has no similarity. My friend, there ain't nothing I can do about that. But I can tell you this one thing. My friend, he delivered the children of Israel, my friend, by a great and a mighty hand. And he done it through his wonders. Yes, he did. That's what he told Moses to begin with. See that you do all these wonders that is in thy hand. It was in Moses' hand to do such. It was in Moses' means, my friend. You remember the scripture, and he took that of the rod and he throwed it down, and it become a serpent. That was a great wonder. But did you not know that they of the world, they of Egypt, could do the very same thing? But at the end, it was Moses' rod that swallowed up the rest of them. Showing, my friend, that God was greater than all that they had. The Bible says that they done several miracles just like that of Moses. But brethren, then they come up on one they couldn't do. And they come up on another and they couldn't do. And brethren, I want you to know that they had no power when it come to when God sent the death destroyer through. He told him, he said, Pharaoh, he said, I'll take your firstborn son. Yeah. Yes, sir. Told him early on he was going to do that. But you know what? Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know, a lot of people ask the question, why did Pharaoh harden his heart? Why did God harden that of the heart of Pharaoh? Right? You read about old Pharaoh. He was hard to begin with. He was hard. Yes, he was. All God done was take that heart he had and just made it a little harder. Yes, sir. That his wonders might be carried out. There's a reason, brethren, that God sent them wonders in Egypt before he delivered the children of Israel. I read it to you. He said, in that of the land of Israel, in that of the encampment of Israel, he said, a dog will not even open his mouth. A dog will not open his mouth. He sent that of darkness. My friend, the Bible says he sent darkness in that amongst the Egyptians. My friend, a darkness that could be felt. The Bible says that Pharaoh sent some of his servants down there to the land of Goshen and said, go down there and see what's going on. Brethren, he come back with a message, there's light in Goshen. Yes, sir. He separated. He said that you might know There's a difference between Israel and Egypt. Israel and Egypt, that you might know there's a difference between them. But his wonders, he kept sending that of his wonders. You'll read about it. You'll read about it in just about every book in the Old Testament. How God delivered the children of Israel and the wonders, my friend, that he brought with them. I don't know this morning. I can't show you all, my friend, of what God done, but I can tell you this, my friend, that God delivered his people out of Egypt just because they cried. Don't we, my friend, preach the same thing today, that you'll have to cry out to God before God will deliver you? It comes. Yes, sir, it comes. These people, my friend, don't know how, no doubt, to take care of their own selves. But, brethren, when it comes to God dealing with them, my friend, I believe God deals with that heart. Brethren, before you're ever saved, and brethren, you will cry out to him, thank God, before he'll answer you. You can't come unto him except the Father which is in heaven draw you. That book teaches this. And it tells us this. And brethren, this morning I want you to realize, you may not think very much about it, but brethren, Christ himself done wonders, and he done miracles, and he done things that no other man could do. No other man. What'd they say when he took that and put the waters to peace? He got up in the midst of the storm. They woke him up, said, "We're perishing." Huh? Boat got out of hand. And they were fishermen. They knowed something about handling, my friend, the boat. But the boat got out of hand. The waves got too big. Yes, sir. They woke him up. He come up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the waters just went calm. Huh? You know what they said? No other man spake like this man. No other. It could not be a question. When Jesus came into this world, could not be a question, my friend, that there's another man like him. Had to be some difference. That's exactly what he showed. Not only did he show the Egyptian, he showed the children of Israel there was no other God like him. None. Brethren, that's the way it is today, my friend, unless he's greater than any other God in your life, my friend, he never will appear to you. No, he won't. These folks, my friend, that's dependent on their jobs, and it's good to have a job. It's good to have a job, my friend, that you can count on. It's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Have you ever thought sometimes, I don't know, I really don't. I don't know the mind of God. I don't know how he works. I know how he's worked in my life. I changed jobs 3 times, and I changed jobs all 3 times for less money. Now, that don't make good sense. Do you know that? It don't. When you put pencil to paper, my friend, it just don't make good sense. But I want you to know God had a plan. Yes, he did. I believe this. I was in the midst of it. I can tell you something about it. I can tell you, my friend, God had somewhere he wanted to put me, and it was going to take me listening to him. And there's been a difference. There's been a difference. I can honestly tell you, there's been a difference. I guarantee you, without a doubt, my friend, when the people left the land of Egypt, brethren, they know there was a difference between the Egyptian and the children of Israel. Yes, they did. He said, I'm going to give you favor. He said, let the women take from that of their women all the gold, all the jewels, and all the raiment. And said, you put them upon your sons and upon your daughters. In other words, you use it and you go out of her letting them know that your God is able. Amen. Amen. Your God is able. You know, there's a lot of folks got a God today. They don't know where he's able or not. No, they don't. I know this morning you might think, I don't know altogether, my friend, the mind of God. I don't know altogether, my friend, in this scripture and that of the book of Acts, it said that he added to the church daily as much as should be saved. Daily. We don't get into the numbers in the scripture, my friend, how many he added all together. He added 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. There's another time that there's about 5,000 that had been added. That's all it ever mentions. But according to this scripture, he added daily such as should be saved. I'm going to be honest with you, and you might not like what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to say this, my friend. It ain't everybody that's going to heaven. It ain't everybody. Listen, I believe God's will save the lost. I most certainly do. Have you ever run across somebody or a person, my friend, that it just seemed like it was impossible to get them or to reach them? I'm going to be honest with you. That ain't an easy thing to walk away from and say, well, there's just no hope. I want you to know that I believe there's hope in every person. Some sort of hope. Yes, sir. Well, I worked with a man years ago. That man, he liked to drink. He lived in the community there. Matter of fact, I rode to work with him every day. We worked 12-hour days. Well, evidently, when he went home, he drank. And he liked to drink. There's a man come to work there, my friend, that was a preacher. And he worked and he wound up on this person's floor. He worked in their apartment. Thank you. Worked in their department. And this preacher man got to talking to this man that drank every day. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know where he could be reached or not. Yeah. He's a good man. Morally, seemed to be pretty good, but this preacher knowed more than I knowed. Do you know that? He knowed more about the man than I knowed. I didn't know, but he knowed him. He had knowed him from years back and years past. My friend, this preacher got to talking to this man, my friend, that drank every day. Now, I don't know altogether what happened, but I want you to know he got him to go in church with him. I can tell you one thing, he wasn't drinking when he went to church. You hear me? You know, a lot of times we give up on people. A lot of times we just think, well, they ain't no hope for that person. But I want you to know God sees more than we do. But the scripture does teach us, and I'm going to say this, God knowed what it was going to take, brethren, to break the heart of Pharaoh. Did he not? He mentioned it early on. He said, I'll take your son, your firstborn son. That's what the Lord told Pharaoh. You know what? Pharaoh didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. I've often thought about the cry that went out in the land of Egypt. Them, my friend, to where the blood was not applied over the door and on the lintel, where there was no protection. The Bible says that death destroyer come in. And he took the firstborn in every house, including the house of Pharaoh. You say, preacher, you telling me that I'm going to die if I don't listen to God? Well, the truth of it is, my friend, there ain't life outside of God. There ain't no life outside of Jesus. There's not somewhere, sometime. Brethren, if God speaks to you, listen. Listen. Open your heart. Now, I'm not talking about listening with these ears. My friend, you'll find out that you've got things going on in here. Life. Yes, sir, something that wants life. Something that wants to be freed. Brethren, the children of Israel was in captivity. They was under bondage. They wanted to be free. It took God to set them free. I want you to know it takes God to set you free this morning. You're in the same kind of captivity. Yes, you are. You under the same bondage. You got a hard taskmaster. You got one, my friend, that's just leading you along. Leading you along. But I want you to realize that God wants you to have life. The Bible says that Jesus came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Brethren, if you ever make it to heaven, my friend, the blood will be applied. Amen. Yes, it will. Amen. It'll be applied. It'll absolutely. You know, it's hard. It's hard to get people to understand. It is. It's hard to get folks to understand that, brethren, that it takes the blood of Jesus. Preacher, how in this world can I have the blood of Jesus applied to my heart? I wouldn't dare. The blood's gone. I want you to know that blood still has power. Amen. And it has power to save. Amen. To the utmost. To the utmost. I know this morning without a doubt, brethren, that people are living in the same situation that the children of Israel was when they was in Egypt, when they was under bondage, under hard taskmasters, and brethren, they want to be set free. That's what that inward man wants to do. He wants to be set free. He wants to be let go. Yes, he does. He wants to live, Jeff, don't he? He wants to live. You know, you hear these people testify. Brother Gene testifies quite a bit about what happened over here. You know what? You know why he testifies of that? Because something happened. Huh? Something happened. You ever noticed he don't tell you a lot about what happened? He just says something happened. You know, the truth of it is that's about all we can tell. That something happened. We don't understand. It ain't something that you can explain. But I want you to know that inward man will be the happiest man living if you give your heart to Jesus. Amen. If you just give it, give it. If you just give it. Listen, if you don't give it, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Death. Death. Death will have dominion over you. There's people in this world that are afraid of dying. Do you know that? They're afraid. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid they're going, I mean literally, that they're going to die. And you know why? You know why that fear is there? That fear is there because they ain't never knowed Jesus in a free pardon of sin. Amen. That fear is there because they are just like I was before I got saved. I feared. I did. I was afraid. I was afraid. I was literally afraid. I was going to die and go to hell. That's exactly how I felt. Exactly. Now, everybody's got their own testimony. And everybody's got their own situation. But that's how, when they was singing that verse of that song on Wednesday night, brethren, and I was sitting there back there just a-trembling. You know why I was a-trembling? There was something on the inside of me afraid of dying. Amen. Afraid of dying in the shape I was in. Yes, sir. Afraid. Do you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad of one thing. I'm glad that I let go of that bench. And I headed down this way. I couldn't tell you. I'm as honest as I can be. I said about middle ways, three quarters of the way back. And I come out of that bench. The last thing I remember is being in that bench. And I was down here. You know what I was seeking? You know what I was crying for? You know what I was asking for? I wanted to be saved. I wanted something, thank God, that would take a cure of that I feared. And it did. It did. It took that fear away. It took, brethren, it gave me something, Jeff, I had never had. Can't explain it, my friend. Can't tell you all together how it works. But I can tell you one thing you've got to do for it to work, and that's submit yourselves unto God. Amen. If you don't submit yourself unto God, you ain't never going to get anywhere with the Lord. You have to submit. Is that not what Pharaoh done? Once the death angel had come, and that cry went out through the land of Egypt. You know what Pharaoh said? He said, get Moses over here and said, tell them people to get gone. Right? Get out of here. Go. I've had enough. He'd had enough. What, he had enough? He had enough wonders. Yeah. Had enough wonders that the Lord had done through the hand of Moses. He said, I've had enough. I want you to realize this morning, you'll never get saved until you come to the place that you've had enough. That you've had all you can handle. All you can stand. It's sad in one sense of the way, but you can't tell people. You can tell them. You can talk to them. You can't make them do one thing. But the truth of it is, they never will get help until they get dissatisfied with the condition they're in. You know what happens? You know what happens when you become lost? When you become lost, my friend, things change. A lot of folks say, well, preacher, it don't change till you get saved. It changes when God speaks to you. But what He's speaking, my friend, is He wants you to come. 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 How many times you go back, and I ain't never read or studied enough, I don't guess to tell you how many times, but how many times did Moses go to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. Let my people go. And he wouldn't let them go. And then another wanderer come. Then it got a little worse. And then it got a little worse. But when it took his son, he said, you get them out of here. Go. Sad to say. But that's exactly the condition that you got to get to. You got to get to the place that you know that it takes the Lord above all things. I'm not going to tell you what the age of accountability is. I'd tell you wrong. I'd tell you wrong. Sister Linda Lunsford said she got saved and she was 5 years old. Huh? 5 years old. You say, preacher, a five-year-old don't know. If a five-year-old knows that heart, that heart gets broken. Brethren, they come to the place, that they realize that they need Jesus. A five-year-old can be saved. Yes, sir. And I'm going to say this. It's worth saying. The more you carry them to the house of God, the likelier that will happen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the truth of it is, it seems like sometimes it's not a hard thing for some of the younger ones to get saved. It wouldn't, I'm going to say this, it wasn't too hard for me to get saved. When I come to that place. Now getting there is pretty tough. Couldn't hardly break down enough to get there for a long time. But I believe this. Won't you come get a verse of a song? I know I've been a little scattered this morning, and it might not have been a shouting message, but I want you to know that you get to that place that I become on the night that I got saved. I felt deep in my heart that God was talking to me for the last time. I really did. I felt like it was my last altar call. I felt that way. But you know what happened? It become the best night of my life. It did. It became the best thing that I ever done. Best thing. Preacher, that's hard to say. You was what? I was 15 years old. Yes, sir. That ain't the reason God saved me. God saved me because I had a heart that needed saving. Yeah. That needed salvation. And I could not get it. You cannot get it anywhere else. There's no other remedy for the heart. And I ain't talking about this pump. I ain't talking about that pump that pumps blood through your body. That ain't the heart that needs to be saved. But there's a heart on the inside of you. We call it the soul of man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That needs to be saved. And when he comes to that place, can I tell you this? I've seen people that would just walk back through the congregation. And they'd just tell people, if you ain't able to walk by yourself, just come walk with me. I've seen people do that. I've seen people go to people and talk to them one-on-one about, don't you just feel like you ought to go? Don't you feel like you ought to come? I've been to folks myself, not many, but I have been to folks myself. I had a man that grabbed me in a bear hug. I thought he was going to squeeze the life plumb out of me, but he wouldn't let me go, and he wouldn't go. You hear me? He wouldn't go. Pretty sad. Pretty sad, but the truth of it is, I'm talking about a grown man. Man, he's 35, near 40 year old. Just grabbed a hold. Well, G.W. Shaw said, down there at Union Grove, I used to have posts inside the church, the older church. He said they was in revival meeting one night, and he said there's a man grabbed hold of one of them posts and he wouldn't let it go. He said, never would get saved. He said, as far as I know, this day he's not saved. And that's been a few years ago, but I knowed the man. I knowed him. I didn't know him when he was under conviction like that in the church. Sometimes it's not the easiest thing you'll ever do. But the truth of it is, it's the best thing you'll ever do. Just give up and let Jesus. You know it's hard for us to give up. It is. It's hard for us to come to the place to where we just give it all to him. But that's what it's going to take in your heart and in your life this morning. Don't be like Pharaoh. Don't let the Lord, my friend, continually have to bring wonders, wonders after wonders in your life to get you to break down. Be one of them, my friend. I had a preacher friend. I've told this before as well. I'd run a revival up here at Rock Springs. And I'd preached on Samuel that night and the voice that talked to Samuel. And this preacher come to me and he said, do you think, he said, I've had my son in church all his life. He said, do you think he has not heard the voice of God? And I couldn't answer him outside of the fact. I said, I don't know. One year later, in revival meeting that same church, his son come to the altar, got saved, got up, and you know what his testimony was? First time. Said, first time the Lord ever dealt with him. First time the Lord ever talked to him. So I don't know. And the truth of it is, you don't know. Preacher, they've been in church all their life. You still don't know. I believe his testimony. First time the Lord ever dealt with him.